We're beginning today our series, and for the next 6 weeks, the series is called Transformed, Inside Out, World Beyond. It's a little bit more than just a series. It's going to be our focus on global mission that we have every year, and it's got a little bit of a twist. In the first couple of weeks, starting today, we will be speaking on transforming lives. Transforming lives. Pastor Kyle and I will be focusing on like an internal spiritual transformation that needs to happen so that we can have an outward impact. We continually need to work on our backstage, don't we? What happens behind the scenes so that when we get to the front stage, which is, you know, what is seen, our backstage and our front stage are in line with one another. So sometimes we've got to deal with some junk. Sometimes we've got to deal with some sin, and today we're going to be speaking specifically on idols and unmasking those idols. That's what keeps us really, a lot of the time, it keeps us from responding to the call of God on our lives and building a legacy. So the first couple of weeks is going to be about transforming lives. For life groups, you will see there'll be a QR code up on the screen. For the whole series, you'll be able to get our life group discussion guide. It will be the same one, but it kind of is added directly after the service. We will post the next one, post the next one, post the next one. You can get that on our website. But we're trying something new, a little bit of a live kind of interaction, and we hope that you can move with that as well. We pray it will be useful to you. Then for the next couple of weeks, from October 6th, our attention is going to move to touching nations. Touching nations. This is where we get really kind of focused on our global missions and inspiring each one of us to have a heart for those who are yet to know Jesus. Jesus said, go into all the world, didn't he, and make disciples. Baptize them like you've seen today, teach them to obey. And he said that he would be with us to the very end, as he is through the Holy Spirit today. So to go make disciples to the farthest reaches of the world, that's a command, not just a good idea. So on October the 6th, we're going to have a guy called Dr. Omar Djoandi. I hope I said that right. He's been here before from SIM Australia, which is a missions organization. And he's also the author of this book called Redefining Success According to Jesus. He's going to be speaking on success and global missions together. We're going to be privileged that night in the evening on October the 6th to have him at 6 p.m. To do a workshop with us on that very subject, which is redefining success according to Jesus. This is like specifically about reordering our lives according to the values that Jesus holds. And in turn, we kind of reorientate our understanding of what success is. Actually is. So I just want to ask, you know, hands up all of you who wants to be successful. Yeah? I'm going to say who wants to be successful according to Jesus. Yeah? Hopefully a few more of you. This workshop is there for you. I would just encourage you to come. Yes, it will cost $25. You will get a book. Hopefully you'll get that book signed. You know, we'll see whether that happens, but please scan the QR code and sign up this week. We would love you to attend. Redefining success according to Jesus. The week after, we'll have Natalia Osipova, who we've heard from before. She's from Missions Interlink, but she's also from Evolve Church, which in a couple of years ago we did with the Ukrainians. We worked with them to be able to provide support to the Ukrainians coming over. So she's going to be here on that week. And finally, the last couple of weeks of the series is going to be called Sharing Hope. So we've thought about transforming our lives, we've thought about our global missions, and then we're talking about sharing hope, which is specifically aiming to help you to share the gospel in your faith, and to write and share your own personal testimony or your redemptive story, just like we've heard today. So we pray that this is going to be really, really, really useful for you. So as I said, you know, this is our global focus. So in the next coming 6 weeks, you're going to hear from a number of our global workers and our missionaries, so serving either locally and overseas. I'm sure this is going to be really encouraging as we're going to hear what God is doing. Now, in a moment, we're going to hear from Pastor Skinner, who's one of our global partners in India from New Life Fellowship in Kolhapur. But before I do, I really want to tell you something about something awesome. It's an awesome opportunity. It's also a massive stretch for us as a church, a big stretch and perhaps a challenge. We want to seek in this time, over and above our normal offering, to raise $50,000 in the next 6 weeks to give to the work of God around the world. That's a big goal, isn't it? It's a big goal. But we think that we can do it if we wait on God and ask Him. The three areas we need to support. We want to support an additional student in Thailand at the River.Asia with Derek and Esther. We've heard from them this year and the amazing work they're doing. We want to support a church planter with refurbishing support a church planter and refurbishing their ministry centre in Cambodia with Campus Crusade for Christ with Anjan Sikal, who we heard from a few weeks ago. And we want to support Pastor Skinner's Church Community Support Fund in India, which supports students and it provides much needed medical support. Do you think we can do it? It's a big step. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. I just really want you to prayerfully consider this. Almost at the end of my long introduction. We're going to watch a video from Pastor Skinner now. He's going to acknowledge the impact that's been made by short-term missions trips that we've sent to him over the years. And he's going to ask you to consider also coming this year. So let's just have a look up at the screen right now. Thank you.
Hi. Greetings from Kolhapur in Jesus' loving name. Dear Pastor Chi, Pastor Paul, the elders and all at Clayton Church, thank you so much for your prayers, for your support of finances and sending teams for the ministry. As the Lord has kept us here for the missional purpose, He has also kept the door open and His sending activities keep growing. The gospel changes everything and it bears fruit wherever it goes, as we can see it and witness. Sending teams from your church has been truly a blessing. When the teams were here, the ministry was very fruitful and a blessing as they ministered to the youth and as we went to different villages and conducting the whole day seminar, teaching, praying for people. We have also seen new people respond to the gospel. We have seen people being healed and we have seen ministry to women being an encouragement and motivation to them. We have also seen the team members individually ministering to different people. Their prayers and even prophetic word has been true and miracles happening in some of their lives. And overall, I can say the team has been a great blessing to the ministry. And I really want to thank you all, and especially collectively the Clayton Church, who extend their mission to us here in Kolhapur. And we are excited about the possibility of another team coming. And we look forward to God's amazing work through them. And once again, thank you, Clayton Church. And all of you, and may God bless you.
So if you're interested in going on the short-term mission trip, we really encourage you to sign up by the end of in the next 2 weeks. Okay, you need to sign up in the next 2 weeks. Get on board with that. It's an amazing step of faith, but it enables you to really experience God in a greater way. And it's amazing the impact that it has, even on people overseas. So next 2 weeks, it's going to change your life if you go. Let me just pray. Let's just ask the Lord to be here. Lord, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would just be present right here, right now, that you'll be speaking in power, that you will encourage us by your word. Lord, we want to see you more. We want to understand you. We want to get closer to your heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to get into this week's message. It's called Unmasking the Idols. In many ways, we've normalized the word idol and what it means in today's culture. In pop culture, we have American idols. We have Guy Sebastian, who is our first Australian idol. Today, we have K-pop idols. Apparently, they're smooth like butter, apparently, something like that. I don't know what the next line is, but you know. The rise of social media has magnified the use of this word idol, and it kind of describes influencers, YouTubers, and we idolize everyday normal people by following their every move and copying their style. I should dance like a K-pop idol right now, but I'm not going to. In the Bible, an idol refers to a physical object or an image that's worshipped. As a deity or a god-like figure. It's not just viewed negatively in the Bible, but it's like it's a core violation against the first and the second of the Ten Commandments. You'll see in Exodus 20, God says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods but me." No other gods but me. It goes on in the second commandment to describe idols. And in verse 4 we read, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below." An image, an idol. You should not make yourself an image. "You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." This is core. This is central. No other gods but me. Don't worship or chase after anything else or put anything else up on a pedestal in place of your worship of me. That's what God is saying. "I will punish those who sin, but I will show love to 1,000 generations of those who follow me and my commandments." It's no wonder that the first two commandments are focused on idolatry, because idolatry is always the reason we ever do anything wrong. Always the reason we do anything wrong. We use the term idol metaphorically. It's like to describe something that takes priority over or is revered more than God himself. It could be money, it could be fame, it could be relationships, it could be your image, the affection or attention of another. It might be sex in any of its acceptable or illicit forms. It might be desperately seeking praise or affirmation, or pride in your education or your accolades, even the deep need for respect or the appearance of a perfect family. I know for me, it's generally the thing that I need to continually lay down is my need to fit in and be accepted. Even yesterday, I was on my normal Saturday walk where I walk through the valley and I come up the other side to this spot where I kind of stand there and I pray and I look to the hills, and somehow by the time I've gone through the valley and up the other side, I'm always somewhat ready to meet with God, which is just a beautiful thing. I've normally poured out my heart so much on the valley that I get up on the mountain and I see what he's doing, and it's awesome. But so often, and yesterday was included, I worry about what people think of me because I'm standing in this spot at this, it's not even a lookout, there's a bit of a seat there, but I stand in this spot and I'm just kind of like looking out to the hills. And I wonder if the people there thinking that I'm a dodgy guy loitering around, when everybody else seems to have a purpose, they're getting somewhere, they're walking, they're riding their bike, they're pursuing some kind of aim of fitness, and I'm this dodgy guy standing there just looking like this. And I'll say hi. I'll say hi, how are you going, good morning. Some people rush past me, some people engage. But I wonder, why do I worry about that? I really do. And yesterday I was just wondering, why do I seek to fit in above my need for meeting with God? But yesterday, as I stood there praying, I decided I don't care what the bike riders think of me and what I'm doing. I just don't care. I'm going to smile at them. I'm going to say hello. I'm going to spend my time being thankful for God and all of His creation. And I tell you, as I prayed that prayer yesterday, and I laid down that kind of idol of wanting to be normal or fit in a sense, it's like I felt God smile. Felt God smile. I felt His pleasure because in that moment, the clouds parted. And now, I'm not saying that it's God doing this, but I felt His pleasure. The clouds parted and the warmth of the sun came through, and I felt the warmth straight away. And I rested. I know that God had seen me. My need for acceptance from people was out of the way, and I could meet with Him. Church, anything, an idol is anything that you or I might excessively admire or rely on to meet a core need, when only God can truly meet those needs. Amen? Amen? But not everything that we love is an idol. There's so much in creation that we've been given for our enjoyment. In Genesis 1:31, at creation, God said, and God looked upon all that He had made, and indeed it was very good. It was very good. It wasn't just good, it was very good. And we can certainly appreciate the gifts of God without making them a replacement for Him. Appreciate the gifts of God without making them a replacement for Him. If these good created gifts are the first thing we run to, then maybe we have identified a problem. Maybe we've identified an idol. You know, the secret to change is always to identify or unmask or expose the idol of the heart before the dismantling can begin. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. It's the unmasking part. As idols are exposed, they lose more and more power over you, and you can start to surrender more and more to the will of God and go about changing the way you think and what you believe about God. It's the transformation of the mind that Romans 12:2 talks about. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is His good and pleasing and perfect will. Unmasking idols, our idols, however, is often difficult because really, truth be told, we kind of like them. We don't want to expose them. They're familiar. They're our first response, and over the years we've become familiar with them, and it's like a familiar yet difficult friend that we walk with. Perhaps delivering relief in the short term and then leaving us high and dry, full of guilt and pain and far, far away from God. I've often said that KFC is like sin. It tastes amazing in the moment, but you pay the consequences later, and likewise, the idols are the same. We don't want to admit or entertain that we have idols, even to ourselves, yes? We don't want to admit. It's often easier to downplay them and rationalize them and say that they're not really idols at all. Maybe they're just good things that sometimes we focus a little bit too much on. But the devil's aim is to minimize the impact and normalize sin, so we blend in with our culture, and bit by bit it seeps into the church and we become deceived. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 to 5 says this: the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In the Spirit, we seek to break down anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Anything that gets in the way of understanding or loving or submitting or being aware of who and how He is. And we take those raging arguments that are in our minds and we're saying we know best and saying that we have the best answer to meet our needs. And we submit them to God and we ask Him to help us to teach them to obey Christ. So this is the warfare where we need to break some things so we can build up our lives more and more around Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So today, I just want to seek to open ourselves up a little bit and ask the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts a little bit. Examine our hearts. David said in Psalm 139, a beautiful psalm about how the Lord made us and He knows us. And in the first verse, he writes this: "O Lord, you have examined my heart. You've examined my heart, and you know everything about me." Scary, right? But he's a loving God. And in the last couple of verses of that psalm, he says, "Search me," or "examine me, look at me, look deeply at me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Know the things I worry about, the things on my mind, the things that concern me. And point out anything that offends you. Lord, point out what my idols are. Lord, point out what my idols are, the things that I place ahead of you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life." Is that your prayer this morning? Search me, Lord. Search me. Know me. Point out the things so that I may walk in the path of the everlasting. Thank you, Lord, that you do this and you are a loving God. So today I'm going to give just a few areas and a few thoughts to help us examine ourselves, to determine what some perhaps good things in your life, or maybe they are negative things, but good things as well, that have replaced our good God in your life. You'll see them up on the screen, and I will make a statement, and then I'll ask a couple of questions which you can consider now, or you can take them home with you. Here we go. Examining your heart. This is what we're doing now. This will take some time at home. It'll take some time here perhaps if you need to. Examine your attention. When you find yourself avoiding time with God, what's stealing your focus? What do you turn to when you should be seeking Him? Examine your finances after the bills are paid, or even when they're not. Where does your money go? What are you willing to go into debt for? Examine your imagination. Where does your mind wander? Is it always towards more stuff or success or approval? Examine your prayer life. Do you only come to God when you need something? Or do you easily approach Him in worship and just to seek communion with Him? How do you respond when God doesn't answer the way you hoped? Do you trust Him? Or do you grow bitter? Examine your relationships. Who are you most eager to please? Could that relationship or that person be an idol in your life? Do any of your relationships pull you further from God instead closer. Examine your emotions. What stirs your strongest emotions? Fear, anger, or sadness? What do you desire most deeply? Could these things reveal misplaced priorities or idols in your life? What do you react most violently against or for? Or perhaps sometimes with a lack of control? Examine your concerns. What keeps you up at night? What do you fear losing most? Examine your past and your future. If you could change your past or control your future, what would you do? What regrets or future desires have hold on your heart? You know, unmasking the idols and exposing them is a major first step to stripping them of their power and their hold on us. It's also a continual process through the rest of our life. Next week, Pastor Kyle's going to speak on breaking the chains to some of these idols and building a legacy for the future. And that's kind of like the next part. We examine ourselves first, and then we break some chains and we build for the future. And as you seek to examine yourself, it might take some time during the week and continually throughout your life. But as you continue to examine yourself, it may bring up some pain and some memories and some difficulties from the past, but I can assure you it will be worth it. And you need to do it within a body, the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Get some people around you continually. And know this also, that He is a loving God, and He sent Jesus, and He loves His children to 1,000 generations. So be willing to identify the idols, strip them of their power. Seek to be convicted, confess your sins, and then embed these new beliefs about God into your life. And after the service, we'd love also to pray with you. I don't know about you, but I find it really helpful to read Scripture aloud, especially prophetic Scripture. I read it in faith and I speak it into being. It so often gives me like a picture of what is to come. It lifts my eyes above the current circumstances and it declares in faith what God's kingdom looks like as He has His way in us. Our idols, when they're unmasked, as our idols are unmasked and exposed for what they are, and as we center our whole lives around the person of Jesus. Today, I want to leave you with a picture of the kingdom of God that we are invited to be a part of. It might seem otherworldly, like it's not of this world. But church, we don't belong to this world. We don't belong to this world. So I want to read to you Isaiah 61, which is the prophetic picture of the redeemed kingdom of God. And yes, it's directly linked with our global mission season that we're entering. Yes, and you might be thinking, oh, Pastor Paul's just trying to twist my arm, get rid of the idols so that I can go on and be a missionary. Yeah, absolutely I am, 100%. Because God is building Himself a kingdom, and He invites us to be part at every level. He invites us to be part of His kingdom at every level, whether it's in global missions in Cambodia or reaching out to that single mother across the street, or the restoration of your own family to be around the things of God. When we unmask the idols, we start to see the world more like God sees it. Because we're not looking at this lower thing on a pedestal that we've placed. We're starting to look up at Him and we're recognizing what He can do in His kingdom and what He can do in us as we take steps forward in faith. So often we let the idols get away at a fundamental level and we just cannot see His ultimate purpose and our part. And we can't see the forest for the trees, as you know that expression. So I'm asking you to consider what gets in the way of your understanding of God and His kingdom. And that you will be open to shaping your mind and your heart around His priorities. For some, that might include giving all you have, selling everything you have and giving it all to the poor. For others, that might include going to the ends of the earth, but I can tell you what it does include for absolutely every one of us here today. It will include the greatest commandment from Jesus in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all yourself, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Isaiah 61 is a prophecy about what it looks like when the Lord is able to have his way with his people. So I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to read it. Isaiah 61, and we're going to make it our prayer. If you want to open your hands, you can, but let's just make it our prayer. Starts what the Lord wants to do. Isaiah 61, the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated, and they will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, and foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. And you will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of grace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. And in my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. The descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. And all who see them will acknowledge they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we have a picture here of what it is like when our idols are discarded and amassed, and we start to picture what it is like in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that we will have a vision of what it is like day in and day out for you to have your way in our lives, for you to have your way in our kingdom. Lord, I pray as you do a work in each one of us, as we examine ourselves daily to understand, is there any offensive way within me? Is there anything that you need to point out that may be submitted to you, laid down, cut off, broken, so that I can stand up and worship you and have my eyes fixed on you? So Lord, we give it all to you. We give it all to you. Unmask the idols in our lives. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.